Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Dr. Kent Heimbigner. I am the pastor of Charity Lutheran Church in Burleson, Texas. Once again, I rejoice and give thanks to God that He has blessed me, His unworthy servant, with the privilege and the opportunity to be the vessel by which He speaks His saving word to you this day. I pray that this will be a great blessing for you, even as it is a joy for me and an encouragement to my faith to prepare and proclaim these messages. If you would like to join our congregation for the divine service on Sunday morning, or if you would like to contribute to the work of our ministry, our address is Charity Lutheran Church, 1101 Southwest Wilshire Boulevard, Burleson, Texas, 76028. Our telephone number is 817-295-8621. And you may also reach us at our website, www.confessionallutheran.org. That's www.confessionallutheran.org. The name of that website, by the way, truly does express who we are and what we are all about. We are a confessional Lutheran congregation. That means we believe the Bible is the Word of God and take it very, very seriously. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation because the Scriptures say He is. We believe that the official writings of the Lutheran Church correctly confess who Jesus is and what the Scriptures say about Him. And we desire to receive Jesus' saving gifts and to sing His praises the same way the Holy Church has been doing it for 2 millennia now. As such, we don't pretend that we reinvented Christianity under a big top in Kansas somewhere. We use a very traditional liturgy, roots of which date back to the 2nd or 3rd century. We sing real hymns with honest, saving doctrinal substance to them. Hymns with messages by which we can be singing the saving faith into our hearts and into the hearts of our children. We keep our focus on Christ Jesus. No gimmicks, no gizmos, no goofiness. Just pure Christ-centered devotion to God and the salvation He has given to us. That telephone number once again is 817-295-8621, and our address is 1101 Southwest Wilshire Boulevard, Burleson, Texas, 76028. We are located right next to Wells Fargo Bank, and we would love to meet you in person, so if you are available on a Sunday morning, we encourage you to take the next step beyond listening to our radio broadcast and actually come to the divine service and join us and give us an opportunity to meet you. With that, the text for this morning's sermon, I'm doing something a little different. I usually preach on a gospel text, but since this is the Feast of Pentecost, I thought I would preach on the record we have about Pentecost. So from the second reading appointed for today, the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. utterly amazed. They asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thus far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord appeared to his chosen apostles on the evening of his resurrection. Do you remember? Well, at least he appeared to 10 of them. Judas had hung himself, and Thomas was out at the time. There they were, that first glorious Easter, hiding out in a locked upper room for fear of the Jews. Peter was there, you remember Peter, the one who swore he'd follow his Lord to the death and then couldn't even muster up the courage to confess his name to a servant girl. And then Thomas came back. He wouldn't believe what the other 10 told him. A week later, the Lord appeared to them again. We all know about his appearance to Thomas. But notice some of the incidental details of that story. They were all still in that room, still locked behind a door, still afraid. What a bunch of rejects, we might think. But the Lord did not reject them. His parting words to them were, "Stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." So they waited. And then came the glorious day of Pentecost. They had added Matthias to their number. The 11 were back up to 12 again. For the having of a new Israel, you couldn't settle for an 11. It had to be a 12. They heard the wind. They saw the tongues of fire. The coming of the Holy Spirit was not some figment of their imagination. It was not some state of emotional ecstasy that they had worked themselves into. The Spirit had been poured out upon them, even as He is really and truly poured into you at your holy baptism. The New Testament church was born on the day of Pentecost, and each of you is born into that church on the day of your baptism. Now I ask you, is it not amazing what a difference the Holy Spirit has made in the lives of these men? Once frightened and hiding, now they stand before the whole population of Jerusalem and boldly declare the gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Later on in Acts, detractors will call them these men who have turned the world upside down. They get persecuted, thrown in jail, and run out of town. According to tradition, John was the only one to die a natural death. All the rest died for their faith. Peter, whose cowardice once led him to deny his Lord, asked for and received, as a last request, permission to be crucified upside down, because he did not count himself worthy to die the same way as his Lord did. Even his death became a final confession of his faith. Doubting Thomas took the faith east, maybe all the way to India. Saint Mark took the saving gospel of Christ down to Egypt, and each of the others took the faith to another corner of the world. What made the difference in these men? Quite simply, the Holy Spirit. And what is it that makes or can make the difference in the lives of the members of Charity Lutheran Church and in the lives of you folks who are listening to this radio broadcast? Once again, quite simply, the Holy Spirit. We don't need anything we don't already have. The Lord has abundantly bestowed upon us His Holy Spirit at our baptism, as we have already heard. Rather, we need by God's grace to live up to and make use of what we already have. Notice the famous miracle of this Pentecost Sunday. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon these men? They speak. They speak in various languages. Notice, they do not speak a bunch of nonsensical babble, as some modern charismatic and Pentecostal groups mistakenly suppose. What the apostles say is understood. It makes sense. Some have even speculated that the miracle is on the receiving end, everybody miraculously hearing the gospel in their own language. Whatever the case may be, the important point is that a bunch of shy, timid, frightened people were made bold, confident, and powerful witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and even enabled by that same Holy Spirit to proclaim the saving good news in a variety of foreign languages of which they had had no previous knowledge. How did their words have the power to change people's lives? Clearly, the Holy Spirit worked through the words the apostles spoke, again, causing them to be heard in many languages, using them to bring people to faith, to which we may respond, "Oh, that's nice." Until we ask the question, how will the Holy Spirit change people's lives in our day and age? And we realize that the answer is the same, through the words we speak. Imagine the 12 had bought into that line I hear all the time, "Well, I don't feel comfortable talking about my faith, I'll just be a witness by the way I live." If the 12 had done that, everyone in Jerusalem would have thought they were great neighbors. The 12 would never have been persecuted. They would have died in bed at a ripe old age. And we would still be sacrificing pigs to Votan and praying to wood gods or whatever gods your pagan ancestors worshipped. We would not know salvation and eternal life on account of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Are we afraid that our words won't do the job? The 12 had even more reason to fear this. People representing 15 or more different languages, how would their words ever make a difference to them? But whether they had self-confidence or not really wasn't the issue. They had spirit confidence. They trusted God to use their words, and use them He did. About 3,000 were baptized that day. We too should not concern ourselves over much about the perfection of our words. We should not be shy about witnessing to others of our faith in Christ. No, we may not be a self-confident bunch, but that's not where it's at anyway. We are a spirit-confident bunch, and we can trust God to use our words to bring many to faith. Will everyone we speak to ask us excitedly what they should do next? Will everyone repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins? Well, no, nor should we expect that. We should expect a fair amount of persecution and opposition. We will be insulted. Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. They'll say it about us, too. Give up my self-centered life of drinking fun and frivolity to serve a Lord I've never seen? You've got to be crazy, they are likely to tell us, at least some of them. And how can we expect anything else if we are too self-centered ourselves to risk embarrassing ourselves a little bit, to risk saying something that sounds dumb, to risk a friendship of this world for the sake of trying to establish a friendship that will endure unto all eternity? I have a very simple exercise that I want you who are listening to this radio broadcast to do it with me. It'll be easier for you because you're not even sitting in a congregation where other people in the congregation will hear you. So say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died to be your Lord and Savior too. Go ahead, say it. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died to be your Lord and Savior too. One more time, if you're sitting there looking at your radio thinking that this pastor has finally fallen off his nut, no one's listening to you, so go ahead and do this. Just do it. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He died to be your Lord and Savior too. It's not so hard to say those words, is it? The Holy Spirit is in you and with you. He will use those words if you will but speak them. And as I said, some will oppose you. Some will ask you questions you may not know how to answer. If they do, tell them the truth. Tell them you don't know all the answers to their questions. I don't. But I do know this. I am going to live in heaven forever and ever with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want every one of you and everyone else I know and love to be there with me. If someone doesn't yet believe, then the very first step is to open our mouths and give the Holy Spirit a chance to go to work. How are we doing? Well, as a congregation, I haven't heard anyone say, those Lutherans sure have turned Burleson upside down. At least I haven't heard it yet. Up to now, we've been more likely to be called the quiet church. We have lots of room to grow in this area. Thanks be to God, our text for this morning doesn't end up saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and becomes a bold witness for him will be saved. It just says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We are saved by grace, through faith, for free, no works required. Our sins are forgiven, and eternal life is ours, for the sake of the finished work of Christ on the cross. We know this because the Word of God tells us so, and because the name and the Spirit of God were put on us in holy baptism, and because the very body and blood of Christ is put into us in holy communion as often as we partake of that body and blood at the altars of churches that distribute it. All of which fills my heart with such gratitude that I want to be a bold witness for my Lord. Don't you? That's just one of the differences the Holy Spirit can make in our lives. God the Father grant us, therefore, to repent of all our sins, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, boldly to confess our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, dear ones in Christ, I have quite a few extra minutes this morning to talk to you about a theme related to Pentecost. I want to take you back to the book of Genesis and the story of how Adam and Eve were created and then fell. And we have seen, as these last weeks have gone by, how Jesus answered for that, how a bride was created for Christ from a wound in his side, just as the bride was created for Adam from the wound in his side. The bride of Christ is the church, and the church is made from the body and the blood and the water that flowed from the side of Christ's body. When Adam sinned, he was cursed that the ground would produce thorns and thistles. Jesus wears that crown on his head. The fall came about because Adam partook of a tree that looked so full of life, but in fact it brought death. We have eternal life because we have partaken of a tree that looked so dry and deathly, the cross with our crucified Lord on it. But by partaking of baptism and the Lord's Supper, we partake of the fruit of this tree of life, so as in Adam's day a lively tree brought death, so through the work of Christ a deathly-looking tree brings us life and salvation. But then let's continue on further through Genesis. You have the flood and the salvation of the world by water, the figure of baptism right there. But then in chapter 11 of Genesis, we read about the Tower of Babel, how these people with a single language have decided to build a tower to heaven. And they do something that doesn't seem like that big a deal to us, but it was back then. The children of Israel were always commanded when making altars or even a temple or something to use uncut stone. And the fact that these people made the Tower of Babel out of bricks that they themselves baked was clearly a reliance upon man rather than a reliance upon God and the rocks that he gave them in the first place. And so this was seen as a godless thing to do at that time. But as they're building this tower that they figure will reach into heaven, God says, you know, let us go down and see this thing, that this thing that is so huge in the eyes of man is so small that God has to get closer and squint just to see it. But the curse with which he curses the people at the Tower of Babel is the curse of confusing their languages. Actually, the original Hebrew says he jumbled up their lips. But he made it so that they couldn't understand one another, and that's a problem that we have to this day. All these different languages in the world, and we don't understand one another, and the language barrier can be a huge issue to deal with. But just as the curse of Adam then turns into the curse of Babel, so also the deliverance of Christ turns into the deliverance of Pentecost, as the curse of the Tower of Babel is overthrown, and the Lord blesses these men by the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim his saving word in a way that crosses over that language barrier. I pray, as the Lord brings many nations to the shores of our land and right here to Texas, that instead of having this narrow attitude that says, dang Ferners, speak English, which, of course, when people come here, I would like them to learn our language, too. Nevertheless, I would hope that we would put forth effort to learn other languages so that we can take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who haven't heard. We don't have to become fluent. We don't have to become brilliant. But it doesn't take a lot to learn how to say, Dios se bendiga, God bless you in Spanish, and to send the message to another human being that we value them as human beings, and we want them to have the salvation that Christ Jesus died to give us as well. So I pray, look with mercy and compassion on those who are struggling to make it in this land. Deal lovingly with them, and most of all, love them in the most important way. Speak to them the good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, and that through faith in Him, they too may rise and have everlasting life in heaven. Well, dear ones in Christ, once again, this is Dr. Kent Heimbigner from Charity Lutheran Church in Burleson, Texas. I belong to the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America. For more information about the diocese, this is a small but solidly biblical and confessional Lutheran church body, I invite you to check out the diocesan website at www.eldona.org. That's www.eldona.org. You may check out our congregation in person at 1101 Southwest Wilshire Boulevard in Burleson, Texas, 76028. Online at www.confessionallutheran.org. That's www.confessionallutheran.org. Or give us a call at 817-295-8621. We will be discontinuing our Saturday evening church for the summer, but we still have Sunday school for the kids and adult Bible class at 8:30 on Sunday mornings and the divine service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. We'd love to meet you in person. God bless you all and strengthen and preserve you steadfast in true and saving faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.